You know, it's good to be home. We missed you. So it's good to be home. It's good to be home. Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 11. And we're going to talk to you about a message from a fig tree. We're going to talk to you about a message from a fig tree. And you say, what in the world? I've never preached this before. And I did a lot of study, and I studied this scripture for almost 10 days. And I told God, I'm not preaching on that. I don't know what it means. And you know what God said? He says, I don't either. No, he didn't. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Do you realize that Jesus was totally human, yet totally God? Do you realize that Mary had to change diapers? We okay with that? So Jesus got hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he'd find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. I would have had a great time if they left that part out. And you may wonder why, but if that part wasn't in there, it'd be a lot easier to preach. Because Jesus did something that was pretty radical. In response to the tree not having figs in the season when it wasn't time for figs, he said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Okay, skip down with me. Down to verse 19. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. And that's actually saying, have the faith of God. Where'd your faith come from? So if your faith comes from God, God's telling you to have his faith. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against someone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. How many there planted a garden? How many have planted potatoes or radishes or carrots? How many of you are so impatient when you see them sprout, you start pulling them up to see if anything's on the other end? Huh? Or how many of you go out to an apple tree or a stalk of corn and start squeezing it or grapes or whatever? Produce, produce, produce. And if it don't produce, cut it down. Might not even be the time. The story of the fig tree, as I thought about it and prayed and said, God, what is this all about? It's very simple. It's about bearing fruit. Jesus hungry, wanted figs. There was none. You can figure out the cursing. You can figure out everything. I have my ideas. I'm not going to go into opinions. But I do believe there was a major illustration to the disciples that tied in with all that Jesus taught. How many of you, not literally, just grab yourself by the throat and say, I got to produce, I got to produce. I got to get some fruit out. I got to do something for Jesus. And yet, the efforts that we put forth, nothing happens because that's not the way God planned it. And so we look at our lives and we look and we see barrenness, we see emptiness, we see things that we want to see developed, we want to touch people's lives, and we just kind of crash. Because we see nothing happening that we think is important. We see nothing happening that we think is valuable. And so we just live our life saying, I guess that's my lot in life. I'm never going to see the fruit I want. I'm never going to develop into what I want to be. I'm never going to have God look at me and say, you're doing good. Because I don't see any fruit. And then we read John 15, and every branch that brings forth fruit, he prunes so it brings forth more fruit, and every branch that doesn't bring fruit, he cuts down and, did God say it? Throws in the fire. And so we're all kindling for roasting hot dogs. And we feel that way. Well, look at Pastor. He's a nut. He talks to anybody. He does this. He does that. You know, there are people he doesn't know, and he's going over there and talking to them and praying for them and doing this stuff. Why? Because I have to? No. It's very interesting to realize the seed of the Word of God that God has put in you, and men and women, he's impregnated you with God's word. Now, don't think I flipped my wig, because I looked this up in two different lexicons this morning. The word for the seed is the word of God in Luke chapter 8 when he's talking about sowing. That word seed is spermos. We get the word sperm from it. It's producing, it's impregnating, it's flowing, it's coming to a place where it gives birth to something. And that seed, the word of God, that God has placed in your heart, is producing within you, and it's time we relax and just let it happen. Hello? One time. Because we get so impatient with what God says, you don't have to get impatient about this. I'm doing a work in your life, and I'm not threatening you if it doesn't happen the way you want it to, and I'm not going to bring guilt on you, and I'm not making you less in the family of God. I'm not destroying you. I'm not doing the things that sometimes you think, and I'm not ignoring you. Just be patient. Let my Holy Spirit come upon you and fill you, and you're going to do what I've called you to do. Hello? Twice. But I want you to see this morning. If you don't get anything out of it. You know, I used to get beat. Well, beat. Now I suppose it's beaten. Dad had a nice belt. If I didn't carry the wood in and get the water in when he lived in the country, I was in trouble. How many know that? You were. Did you ever get spanked? Is that when they still had a woodshed? We kind of exchanged the woodshed for video games. Yeah, if you're naughty, just go watch video games. Just go play something. Get out of my hair. Well, I couldn't say that. But we come to a place where we think God never is happy and never is joyful, but always mad at us because we're not accomplishing what we think we should be accomplishing. How many of you ever get frustrated at work? How many of you have things to do that you just don't get done? How many looking over your shoulder to see what the boss is thinking? Hello? Nope. Three, thank you. I'm done. And so we get the same idea from God that we get from a boss. The boss is getting paid to make sure you do your job. And the way you do your job reflects on your boss. Anybody understand that? And so if the work's not getting done day after day after day after day, somebody's going to come to the boss, who is their boss, because the big boss came down to the littler boss and said, you better deal with that. God doesn't work that way. God has given us all that we need to produce the fruit that he wants from our lives. And then he says to us, let it happen. Because it's not that we're producing the fruit anyway. God is producing the fruit. And so we're not our own fruit inspector. God is. And God's the one that looks at what we're doing and is blessed. Because God not only sees what's happening today, he sees what's happening for the rest of your life. Think of it for a moment. I believe his name was Mordecai, led Billy Graham to the Lord. Now think if that was the only person he led to the Lord his entire life. How many people did he reach? Millions. And think if your life, who you're working with or what you're doing with people or ministering to someone, their lives are touched by your life because the fruit that's shining through and they reach millions. That's added to your tab. And so, take a deep breath. We listened to a song all week called Exhale. Anybody have heard that song? Breathe in Jesus and exhale him to the world. Breathe in, breathe out. Let God be ministered to by your life because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in you. This is not a deal about how much we accomplish. It's not a deal of saying, man, I got to get more faithful. I got to get this. I got to get that. It's about relaxing and living in the flow of the moment and trusting God to bring about what he has planned for your life and allowing the fruit of the Spirit brought by the Holy Spirit to work and minister. Give the Lord a hand. It's true. It's really true. But we get frustrated and we come in and we're afraid to worship and we just don't understand some things because we have a wrong picture of God. God has ordained your life. And God has put things together in you. And the message I got from Matthew 21 and the fig tree and Mark 11 is produce what God produces through you. It's amazing. You know, it's a fun life. He made me kind of a nut. You know? But the nut doesn't fall too far from the tree. And so everything I'm doing, I'm holding on to God. Are we okay?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you a story. So we're out in the Black Hills, and this guy comes in, and I was telling it to Stan this morning, and he loves White Castle hamburgers. We used to get 10 for a dime. I mean, 10 hamburgers for a dollar, a dime apiece. But he got poisoned. He got food poisoning. And so we're talking, and he's went to the doctor, and he got some stuff to plug him up, and he got plugged up. Okay? We okay? He got plugged up. So he comes over one morning and said, I am so plugged up, and he's walking away, and I says, in Jesus' name be healed. That's all I said. He come over the next morning, and he had gushers. And he said, well, I medicated myself. And I didn't say, well, I think Jesus medicated you. We're sitting there, and after Tony left, he fixed one big water leak. We turned the water on 2 weeks ago, and we had Lake Travers. But it was in our camper. So Tony comes in, we get some connectors, we got it fixed. James, you're going to go on vacation with us from now on. And Wednesday, I get up, go have lunch with the Baptist pastor, breakfast with the Baptist pastor, get home, and carpet's all over, water's flowing all over. We had another line broke. So we get a hold of Jim, who's worked on our camper before, and he comes out, and he just got out of the hospital. He had an appendix that ruptured and got peritonitis and infections and all the stuff you get. And so we had this guy working with him, and he's talking to us and asked me some questions about some things. And then I say, well, Jim, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah. He said, that'd be good. And so I prayed for him, and after giving him $60, he said, man, thank you. I don't know if you thanked me for the prayer or the money. But anyway, on and on and on and on. Why? I'm not forcing anything. It's just the Holy Spirit that wants to work in all of us. But normally we get afraid, we get stymied by things. We think, well, what if they reject me? If they reject me, it's their loss.
That's right.
I'm not being arrogant. I'm not coming asking for a handout. I'm trying to give them something. Now, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. How much money do you have to put in the offering to get that?
Do you want us to put numbers on the screen?
Yeah. Where do I get that from? You see, love, joy, and peace is what God does in us. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, self-control is how others see us, is how we bless them. And so we have the love and the joy and the peace, and we need to just exhale it to the world. But we get so caught up in, boy, I got to do something dynamic. I got to do something big. I got to see legs grow on somebody, or I got to see hair grow on somebody, or I got to see something. And because it's not that big, we think it's insignificant. But every time you touch someone for Jesus, because the Holy Spirit's working through you, you're blessing our Father. Herein is my Father glorified, that we bear much fruit. Everything we do, that everything that we allow the Holy Spirit to do through us, is blessing God.
Right.
You know, sometimes we hear, well, you got this gift and you got that gift, and we look at things and we say, well, when's the gift going to start working? When is this going to start happening? I've been told I got this gift. Relax. Relax and let it flow. I've bypassed so many times that I could have blessed somebody because I thought it would be insignificant. Because I thought it wouldn't be important. Because I thought that that's no big deal. Anybody can do it. And that might be true, but the issue is God said, you do it. We okay? Significance. Do you know something? When you ask Jesus Christ into your life, you stepped into a supernatural lifestyle of significance. And the only one that tells you you're not significant is the devil. Because he gets a stronghold in your mind and you start thinking, what do I have to do to be significant? God, what do you expect from me so I be significant? And God says, nothing. And you say, wait a minute. I heard pastor said there's rewards and there are things that when I get to heaven, I'm going to be showered with. True. But it's not because of what you did. It's because of what he did through you. And you became the vehicle of what God has done in your life. Are we okay? I don't want you hanging your head. I don't want you looking out of a pit hoping someday I can measure up. You know something? When I thought about measuring up, I didn't know what I had to measure up to. Huh? What do we measure up to? Oh, I'll measure up to Brian. Well, I don't farm, so I can't do that. I don't know the motor and the tractor from a hitch. So how can I measure up to Brian? Or how can I measure up to somebody else? God never asked us to measure up. Do you know something? He says, he who compares himself to another is not wise. Because the only one we look to is Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus has accepted you. Say that. Jesus has accepted me. Right where I am. Quit trying to earn something that God has freely given you. That's what we call religion. He made you the way you are with a little bit of help from your surroundings. And now he expects you to live in those surroundings and build relationships and love people and just be the Holy Spirit saint that God has made you. We okay? You see, God never wrote to the sinners at Ephesus through Paul. He never wrote to the sinners at Colossae. He never wrote to the sinners at Thessalonians. He never wrote to the sinners in Galatia. He wrote to the saints. A church don't make saints. God does. And I know you'll look at me and say, well, I'm no Mother Teresa. He never intended you to be. He never intended you to be. He intended you to be you. And so quit beating yourself up and come to a place. I've been established by God to be who I am and to allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do with me. And you know, when we come to that place, life gets a lot easier because I'm not pulling up the potatoes to see if there's potatoes under it or pulling up the carrots to see if there's a carrot. I'm not choking the corn to try to get bigger ears. I'm just living and walking and allowing the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does. You may say, well, that sounds too simple. This is simple. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he's going to direct your path and he's going to bear fruit in your life. One more point here. This might be a little hard and I'm not trying to be mean. I just want you to see something. There's a heart and mouth connection. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it'll be done. And he compared that to the fig tree. They come and ask him about the big fig tree, and Jesus says, the fig tree's no big deal. I believe he was illustrating fruitfulness and a few other things, but then he looked at them and he said this. Come to a place of believing what you're saying, and it's going to happen. Don't say something so you start believing. Come to a place of believing and you're saying. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe and then for I spoke. We like to speak and hope and wish that what I'm saying is going to happen. So what happens is we begin meditating the Word of God. I believe my heart and my mouth comes into fellowship when I'm meditating on God's Word. Don't have to meditate on the whole book of Psalms. You know, take a few verses. But as we start doing that, there's a connection between our head, our heart, and our mouth. And it's that disconnect that we have trouble with at times. Because we know in our heart truth. Amen?
Amen.
We know in our heart truth, but we don't get it into our mouth. And so I hear myself every once in a while saying things, and I thought, where'd that come from? Who told me that? Simply for the fact that at times my mouth is disengaged from my heart and my mind. My mind is being renewed just like your mind. And so we connect and we start speaking things that we absolutely believe and is coming from our heart and our mind into our mouth. We're making that confession. It's not saying something and hoping that it happens. It's saying something that we've already experienced from God and we're believing it's going to happen. We believe, we trust, we take, and we proclaim. Proclaiming is the last part of it. Not the beginning. I remember driving my car, going to preach in Rapid City, left here a few years ago. Going like, well, I can't tell Judy that. I was going plenty fast. A little bit fast. And I'm coming down the road from, is it Pierpont to Groton, that road? And I'm just thinking about my message, and I'm going, and all of a sudden I see, stop. And I'm either going to be on that side of the road, or I'm going to do some Louis, or God's going to stop me. And the first words out of my mouth is, Jesus, I'm dead. You know something? It wasn't true. I stopped on ice. But there are times there's kind of a panic and we shout things or we think things or we say things because that's an initial reaction to something bad. Okay. What I want to do is stop having an initial reaction and have the true reaction from my heart to my mouth. I'll not be shaken. You're my God. I trust in you. I will follow wherever you go. Though everything fall apart, God, you're still in control. And it's hard at times because there's a human, natural part of our lives that need to be changed by the supernatural presence of God. And it's amazing. The last one. I want everybody here absolutely free from anything that's ever happened in your life. So Jesus closes this segment with, as you stand praying, forgive. Why? because he doesn't want you in bondage to somebody else. Forgiving someone doesn't condone what they did to you. It just releases you from being bitter or angry or want revenge or want to get even. That's all it does. It doesn't say they were right and you were wrong. And sometimes we're afraid of that. Sometimes we're just absolutely afraid. If I forgive somebody, it's just saying that they're okay. No, they're not. It's that you need to be okay. And so we just allow God to bring that forgiveness. I was traveling back from Browns Valley one night after reffing basketball, and my partner looked at me and just started unloading. Just angry. And he doesn't get angry. So I looked at him and I said, "Well, did you say the Lord's Prayer at church last Sunday?" And he said, "Sure." And I said, "Say it to me, will you?" So he went through and then he got to the place, "Lord, forgive us our trespasses as what?" And he stopped. He said, "I get it." Do we get it? Do we get it? The ability to come to God and say, "God, help me forgive," is life-changing. It doesn't matter what happened. Well, it does matter. I can't say that. I got to go back this again. It does matter, and I do care. I'm not going to say I don't care what happened. But in the eyes of God, he wants us to be free and let everything go that Satan wants to bring in our minds against someone else. And as that happens, and if you say, "Well, I can't do it. This has been just so constant." Just come to God and say, "God, help me." Because it does work. It does work. It's amazing. So number one, you have the seed of the Word of God in your life. That seed will impregnate you and you will bear fruit. You may not even see it. But we like to see stuff, don't we? Number two, have a heart and mouth connection. What God is placing in your heart, speak that forth. Number three, be empowered by the Holy Spirit to let everything go that's eating you up. Forgive. Amen?
Amen.